Hallelujah. I want to share a word God gave me. I was in the office this week, and he just gave me this word, and I typed as fast as I could type to get it. I hope I got it all, but I just want to read this because it's so much what God is doing in this area. God said, get ready, church, get ready. Yes. I've only begun to move in this place, in this city, in this region. Get ready. What you have seen is only a taste, only a morsel of what I'm about to do. I have set forth my angels to surround and encamp this place. I am sending more angels to expand the territory and this place. Get ready, be prepared. As the river of Illinois flows through this region, so will the river of my spirit flow. Get in the river, my church. Get in the river, my church. Get in the river, my church. The river will bring unity to my people. The river will bring new life to this region. The river will bring a flood of my divine holiness. The river will bring power to the believer. The river will bring signs and wonders and healing. The river will send the enemy running. The river will bring forth an anointing on the leaders of my church in a way never before seen on this earth. The river will bring life more abundantly to those who partake. The river will sweep in new saints, so many that the numbers cannot be counted. Get in the river. This will happen soon and suddenly. Heed my call. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Yeah. Awesome. Amen. God is doing something in this region.
Yes, he is.
It is, oh man, I just can't tell you. By the way, if you can come to prayer on Wednesday nights and you haven't been coming, I invite you to come to prayer on Wednesday nights. Wow, I'm telling you what, God is revealing things. We are praying for people. People are getting healed in this service. God is, and according to his word, this is just a morsel. This is just a taste of what he's going to do.
What time?
7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Thank you, I didn't say what time did I. Just show up anytime Wednesday. You know, it's Veterans Day. And you can't preach a sermon on Veterans Day without talking about the centurion soldier. And you know, that's one scripture that I've heard taught I don't know how many times over my Christian life. Many, many, many times. And many times as a person who is a member of the military, so many times I hear that sermon and I think, there's just something not right about what they're saying here. They're missing something in this. They're missing something in this. And I hope you can keep up, D. I don't know if you can. If you can't, that's all right. We'll just keep going because I have a whole bunch of slides, but that's all right if we don't show them all. But one of the things that I've realized in studying God's word is that the English language fails us a lot. The English language can't capture some things that other languages can capture. And this morning, we're going to talk about authority and power. And a lot of you know that I work in a company, and I'm in an executive position there, and I have lots of people underneath me, and I have a lot of authority in that company. The company gave me the authority to do a lot of things. I have a big budget I have to manage. I have a group of people that I have to manage, and I can have the power to hire and fire them. Not that I do that very often, but that's a power that I have as a leader in the company. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in this place through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask your anointing on this word, that it would come forth in might and in power, Lord, and you would open the ears of your people to hear what you are saying this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has all authority. I'll say that one more time. One person said amen. Jesus has all authority.
Amen.
Amen. Given to him by God the Father. Notice the verse says, given to me. and all authority in both heaven and on earth. But this verse that bothers me all the time. So I can tell you, when I joined the army, I had no authority. Was I under people's authority? You betcha I was. The very first day you come in there, they are yelling and screaming at you. And everything you're doing is wrong. They indoctrinate you. The drill sergeant's in your face yelling at you. I'm telling you what, it's one of the most intimidating things you've ever experienced, if you've ever experienced it. Those drill sergeants are not nice people, most of the time. Every once in a while, you'll find one that's kind of nice. But they're yelling at you and they're screaming at you. They take away all authority. You can't eat, you can't drink, you can't sleep, you can't go to the bathroom without asking somebody first. You have no authority when you first come into the military. Now, as you gain rank in the military, you get a little more authority. So you start out as a private first class in the Army. You got nothing. And then pretty soon you get promoted to private second class, and you get a little, or I'm sorry, private first class comes after private second class. I know it's backwards. I said it backwards. So you're a private, then you're private second class, and you're private third class. No, I said it wrong again. Private second class, private first class. Yes, it's been a long time.
Thank you, God.
And it's been at least 2 years. Anyway, you gain in rank, and when you're a private, you still have no authority. Everybody still tells you what to do. And as you gain in rank, again, you gain more authority to do things. So let's talk about the centurion soldier. I believe we are in Matthew chapter 8. Do you have that one up there? Matthew chapter 8, verse 6 through 13. And the centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come to heal him?" And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes. I tell one to come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And the servant was healed that moment, that quick, that fast. Go. I can tell you, when I was in the military, and I studied a little bit about the Roman army because I really kind of wanted to understand how the Roman army functioned, because I'm sure back in those days, the Roman army functioned a little bit different than the U.S. Army functions. I'm going to take a wild guess at that. One of the things that as a soldier, or particularly a captain, which the centurion soldier would probably represent in the U.S. Army, had a lot of authority. He had a lot of authority. And not only that, he knew if he told one of his people to do something, that they would do it. Go, and they would go. Come, and they would come. Because what happened if they didn't obey? They'd be put to death if they didn't obey. Did you know, even in today's United States Army, in the time of war, if you disobey a lawful order, that you can be executed? That's the same as mutiny. So when you're in authority in the army, people do what you tell them to do, because that's the way that it is, unless you just want to be. So this centurion soldier, one of the things when I hear this passage that I get hung up on is, I too am a man under authority. And when I hear this taught most of the time, everybody focuses on that word under, meaning that somebody is in authority over him. And that's true, somebody is, I don't deny that. But I think that there's a little bit of mistranslation, so bear with me just a little bit, and I'll explain where I'm coming from to what this says. First of all, there's the word to or also, depending on which translation. So what did Jesus say earlier? He has what? All authority. So if he has all authority and he's comparing himself to Jesus, then where does this under come in? So that's the first thing that kind of always hangs me up. Secondly, as I said, I was in the military. I know that just because you have somebody over you doesn't mean you have authority. So let's look at what the Greek says. And I will tell you, first of all, I am not a Greek scholar, so I will probably mispronounce these words, but that's okay. Bear with me. The Greek word hypo, while translated in the passages under, means a place of, with, or having. It appears 229 times in the New Testament. In all meanings, in almost all cases except for 9, it's translated as either of or having. It's not translated as under. I thought that was kind of interesting, that it's not translated as under in almost every place in the Bible. The second word, exousion, which in the Greek means the power to act. Now, English language messes this up again. Because if I look up authority in the Strong's Concordance, I get 22 different Greek words that talk about authority. And if I look up the word power, I get about 18 words that mean power. And some of them are interchanged. Some of the words are interchanged. Exousion, the power to act. Now, there's another word I came across, which means to be under the authority of another. So this is why I think that this verse sometimes gets misinterpreted. Because he doesn't use that other word. He uses the word exousion, which means the power to act. He doesn't use the word that I cannot pronounce. I forgot what it is. Pipiatharkio. There we go. Which means under the authority of another person. He uses the word exousion. So I really believe that that verse is saying, I also am a man who has authority. Jesus has all authority in the earth. And that Roman soldier says, I also am a man who has authority. All you have to do is say, go. Send that word forth and my servant will be healed. He had the faith that he had because he knows as an army captain that all he has to do is tell people. And he knows that Jesus also has the same authority. Just send the word forth. Jesus succeeded in securing all power by going to the cross, by dying a horrible death, suffering the penalty for sin, and defeating Satan in the pit of hell. He came to earth as a man for one reason, to recapture the authority that Satan has stolen through Adam's disobedience in the garden. Jesus was called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. And after securing that power and authority, he freely gave it over to the hands of those who would believe on him. He gave that authority unto them that would believe on him. How many believe in Jesus? Amen. Amen. There's a couple people in the back that didn't raise their hands. We'll pray for you later. Hallelujah. See, accepting Jesus' work on Calvary is only the start. We are responsible for so much more. And if we look at Mark chapter 16, which is the other translation from Matthew, his words, you know, I was reading something that, you know, it bugs me. I tell you things bug me sometimes. Some things just bug me. Forgive me, Lord, for being bugged sometimes. But I'll read Christian journals or I'll get online and read things. And that's why you'll hear me say so much, I don't want to listen to what man is saying. I want to listen to what the Spirit is speaking to me. Because there are so much teaching out there and people are like, where are you getting this stuff? I know I'm going on a rabbit trail, but, you know, they were talking about how, well, healing, you know, and speaking in tongues and those gifts, those were for the disciples. That's not for today. Wrong. That's absolutely for today. Hallelujah. So beginning at verse 15, I'm in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, how many believe? All right, the two in the back got saved in the last 5 minutes. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Oh, I lost my place, but that's okay. But he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not be damned. And these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Amen. So the first thing, the first authority that we have is to preach the gospel. What's the first thing that it says after the verse? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And not just part of the gospel, not just a little bit of the gospel, the whole gospel, the full gospel. We call ourselves a full gospel church for a reason, because we believe in the entire full gospel of Christ, the full truth, not just part of the truth or whatever we want to interpret the truth to be on that given day. We believe the full gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I said that a minute ago. Who are these signs going to follow? How many believe?
Amen.
Who are the signs going to follow?
Amen.
Who believes?
Amen.
Who are the signs going to follow?
Amen.
Them that believe.
Yes.
The other area that he has given us authority is to stand against the enemy. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. And in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians 6:10 through 17, we've all heard the story about the armor of God, and my notes are all miscombobbled here, so if you can bring up Ephesians 6:10 through 17, that would be awesome. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of dark ages. There's something in there assumed in that. And that's the word you. Because there's something we have to do in this. It says, therefore, take up who? You take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil one, having done all to stand. You stand therefore. You. There's something we have to do in that. There's something we have to do in that. God has given us authority. James 4:7 says, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have authority to resist. Who knows we have authority to resist the devil? Who has authority?
Amen.
The believers do.
Amen.
Who's a believer?
Amen.
And who has authority?
Amen.
We have authority to resist the devil.
That's right. He's under our feet.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, it's funny that sometimes we pray, and I've been guilty of this before, say, oh Lord, remove the devil from my life. Father, let the devil leave me alone. His word says he has given us authority to tell that devil, you flee from this place. I cast you out of here and I bind you in Jesus' name. Whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. He gave us the authority in Jesus' name to cast out those demons. We don't have to pray for God to do it. He's given us the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus.
Preach it,
I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. I lost it a long time ago.
Stand therefore, having girded yourself, your waist with truth.
That's right. Put on the armor of God every day. It's funny. Somebody says, well, why do I have to put the armor on every day? Why can't I just put it on once and it's there? And You know, the Bible says we have to constantly renew our mind. Our flesh is weak. I talked about that last week a little bit. And we have to always be putting on that armor. Every day we get up and we put on that armor of God. We put on that breastplate. We put on that armor. And we tell the enemy he has to flee. And he does. Hallelujah. Other place we have authority. You know we're seated? We have authority. Oh, hallelujah. We have authority to lay hands on the sick and they're healed. We don't have to pray, "Oh Lord, help Janice, she needs it." "Lord, heal her, heal her." Nope. You know why? We've been given the authority in the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick and they will rise up. When the disciples went and prayed for the sick, did you hear them say, "Oh Lord, help this man who's been you know, crippled his whole life. Help him, Lord." Nope. He said, "Rise up." Rise up. Rise up. We have the authority. This might be for me. It may not be for the rest of you. But I'll tell you what. This is something that set me free just even in this last week. That we can, through the authority of Jesus Christ, we can lay hands on people and they are healed.
Amen.
They are healed.
That's right.
And it happened at Calvary. All we're doing is securing what God already did at Calvary. We're just securing that because he gave us the authority in the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. And Peter even knew that it wasn't him, because a lot of people in Acts 3, 2, it says, "And Peter, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look you so earnestly on this? As though it was by our own power or holiness that we made this man walk."
No.
It's by God's power. But he gave us authority. He gave us authority. Let's look at some commands that Jesus gave his disciples. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Luke 9, 1 through 2. "And when he called them into the when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Matthew 10, 1. "And as ye go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." Oh man, what a way to add to the church. Wow, we could have lay hands on people and they get raised up. I'll take that. I'll add to the church that way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We as believers, so many times, and I will admit to my guilt to this, and you know, one of the things the healing rooms has really, really taught me is this level of authority, and the way that they operate in the healing rooms is all about authority. If you know, how many of you, a lot of you serve in the healing rooms, quite a few of you do. One of the things that is just awesome to me is the yielding of the anointing that occurs. Because there's authority in there, but when you come into the healing rooms, there's one person that's the leader of the room. And that one person has the mantle on them. They have the anointing on them. Not that everybody else doesn't, because they do as well. But the Holy Spirit, through what he's doing, praying for those people, you know, Barb might be the leader of the room, and the other two people are praying, and she has the anointing. She has to yield that anointing to the next person that comes along. and then they'll pray for them, and then they yield the anointing to the next person that comes along, and yielding that anointing and yielding that authority, that I just love how that works in the kingdom. God's not a person of confusion at all. He's a person to keep things in order. But we have authority. We have authority not to be beggars. So, oh, please, Lord, please heal me. Lord, please heal this person. But to walk up and say, rise up and be healed in the name of Jesus. I had something happen to me in a healing room that I would say 2 or 3 years ago would have scared the life out of me. And it absolutely would have. How many knows the enemy's real? And I won't use any names or anything like that because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody. But this person came into our healing room. And I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to tell me all kinds of stories about demonic activity that she would be praying through. And it would raise hair on my back, my neck would raise up, and I'd be like, I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about it because it's scary. It used to scare me. Many years ago, it's been, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever, for some reason, Janice got into this watching ghost shows on TV. I wouldn't watch them. They used to scare the living daylights out of me because I knew that the spiritual realm was real, but I also didn't fully understand what my authority was in Jesus Christ. And this person came into our room, and I had kind of an inkling that there was some demonic activity going on with this individual. I've never come head-to-head with a demon before at this point in time. And I knew that there was a spirit of depression on this person. I knew by the spirit. And as soon as I touched their forehead, that demon screamed out at me and said, get the HE double hockey sticks away from me. I knew it wasn't that woman talking to me. I knew what it was. I knew it was a spirit. That moment, instead of scaring the living daylights out of me, which it might have done a lot of people, and would have me not too long ago, I probably would have done exactly what it told me to do and go running out of there. I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out of this woman. And immediately her countenance changed. Immediately her countenance changed. We have authority in the name of Jesus to cast out demons. Why would we be afraid of that? Man, I don't know why that hit me upside the head so hard. Why would we be afraid of that? The demons have to flee. They have to flee. Hallelujah. In his earthly ministry, Jesus said things such as, be thou made whole, take up your bed and walk. And Peter said in Acts 3:6, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He spoke from a point of authority. He spoke from a point of authority. And when somebody in authority says something, I'll go back to my army days. Janice and Mom and Dad can attest to this. When they came and picked me up at boot camp, at the end of boot camp, I should say, they laughed at me. Because as soon as an officer would walk by, I would jump to attention. I wouldn't even think about it. And they laughed. Well, what are you doing that for? Because they ingrained it so much into you. You knew when somebody of authority walked in, and so does the devil.
That's right.
He knows when somebody of authority walks in, and he snaps to attention, and if you tell him to go, he goes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have authority in Jesus Christ as Christians, as believers. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the power also. And I didn't really talk about, because it got mangled up in my notes, the difference between authority and power. I might cover that next week. But there's a very minor difference between authority and power. And as I mentioned, the English language once again lets us down, because in the Greek, several words mean both power and authority. So it's kind of interesting when we study that. But, authority is something that is given to us. Power is something that we have. Does that make sense? Authority is something that's given to us, but power is something that we have. And we have a helper. We have a advocate in the Holy Spirit. That gives us the power. So we have the authority to say, rise up and be healed. And we have the power through the Holy Spirit to heal.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're working in this place. And Father, I pray right now for each person in this place that you let them know their place of authority. Satan, you cannot have your way with these people.
That's right.
In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that each person is in this place is going to walk this week in a level of authority that they've never walked in before, that they're going to walk and know through what was given to them through our Lord and Savior from the work of the cross, the authority they have in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that there would even be somebody who needs healed that would come into their lives. And they would exercise that authority and they would reach out and they say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the work on the cross. We thank you for what you did to save us. And Father, I just lift up every church in this community right now, Lord. You would pour out your Spirit on them, and you would give those churches and every member of those churches the authority to walk in that authority in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be dismissed.